I kind of changed up my prayer time a few years ago. I don't presume to tell you how to pray, but as I've said before, it kind of helps me to take a moment to clear my mind before I start asking things of the Lord, right? If we think of prayer as a communication, I'm having a conversation with the Lord. Well, if I'm just talking at Hector, then that's not a conversation, that's a lecture. So I want to put myself in a position where I can hear the Lord. And, some people call it contemplative prayer because they don't like the word meditation or whatever. I'm not trying to rock the boat here, but learning to quiet your thoughts for a moment. When I first started like pray for Harjeet, there's all these intrusive thoughts of fear, right? Of like my idea of what should be happening. And so before I start praying, I try and quiet those thoughts. And when I first started it, I was reading a book about contemplative prayer, and it says, like, people often get discouraged because of all of the thoughts, and they think, like, I'm terrible at this. But if you think of it like watching a street with cars passing by, it doesn't matter how many cars are passing by if you're observing them leave. That makes sense. So I would encourage, this has been a great help to me. It may not be helpful for you, and if it doesn't help you, that's fine. But it's really helped me because it's been a mess up here for years. I don't know if you're the same way, but there's just all of these thoughts and worries and cares and things that come and come and come. What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Well, how am I supposed to be able to hear the Lord if I'm worried about my taxes and I'm worried about Harjeet and I'm worried about my kids and oh yeah, I forgot to do the thing that I leave the oven on. Just kidding. Of course I didn't leave the oven on. I ever cook. But I got a million things going on up here. How can I have ears to hear the Lord when all I can hear is the constant input of garbage? Does that make sense? So I don't, you guys may have been praying for much longer than I have done. But before I pray, the first thing that I do is clear so that I can hear the word of the Lord. And I've gotten better and better at it. And so when that fear comes, push it to the side, and the Lord reveals to me the hope of His Spirit. I think it's something that's worth looking into. I've been trying to get Ash into it, but she keeps on blowing me off. She doesn't want to do it. I just kidding, JK. I love you. Anyhow, so that has partially what we're talking about today. Jesus talks about fire and flame. And we have as Christians, have a very complicated history with fire and flame. Read Burning of Witches in Europe and the idea of hellful balefire, that we're trying to scare people. As a teacher, some kids, if they're not behaving, there has to be some kind of admonishment. But if you just threaten children with punishment, they're not apt to listen to you. Because, especially some of them, once they see that your punishment may just be benching a kid during recess, their desire to act against you may outweigh their desire to play for 10 minutes longer. Did that make sense? So, as a teacher, I try to reward good behavior rather than punish bad behavior. How much wiser is the Lord than I am? I would argue that we got to rethink the nature of the gospel here on the planet Earth. Jesus says that I've come to cast fire on the earth. Does that mean burn up all the bad people? Maybe. Fire does two things, multiple things, but two things that I want to talk about. It burns things up, but it also sheds light. He's come to illuminate and change our world forever. And yet, we find that the church is shrinking. And many people think, aha, that's because it's the darkest before the dawn, and the Lord's gonna come back, and all is gonna be revealed. And that may be true. But I sat in church and Christian schools and Christian meetings Christian Bible studies for 35 years alone in the dark. And I've come here to tell you that I see new light every day. He's cast a fire in my life, in my heart, in my mind that has changed everything. My job, my kids, my health. Thank you, Stephen, for the encouraging words. He's changed it. He's changed it. And so when I think about the people who are not here this morning, they're not bad people, but they haven't seen anything that's worth changing. Why would they come to me in years past? I was just like them. They complained about work, and then I showed up. Yeah, work sucks. Pardon my language, Donna. But he's changing me. Did that make sense? And he's growing me. He's showing me. And my children, who before would not listen to me, now come into my room seeking guidance, which is proof that he's about to come back any second now. Either that or that hell's frozen over so Judy can bring her skates, Jacob. He burned up the behavior that has been holding me back. And he's shown me the path that I need to lead. Casting fire on the earth. Casting fire in our lives is to question our long-held beliefs and then act on the things that he has us do. That makes sense. The issue is, and I'm gonna sound like a grandpa for a second, that most of us live in echo chambers of our world, whether it's politics, religion, lifestyle, and we go around thinking our thoughts and then looking for things that validate the thoughts we were already thinking. So I think this about politics, and then I go on YouTube and I watch things and go, oh, that's right. Oh, look at these idiots. So smart and clever am I. But that keeps me right where I am. The idea that you are too afraid to question your beliefs leaves you right where you are, which is okay. Doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't make you a lazy person. But it does make you a stationary person. Questioning your beliefs doesn't necessarily mean changing them. I may think something about politics or about the world, and then I pray about it. And if the Lord reveals to me, if I'm being honest with myself, and the Lord reveals to me, no, that's right. That doesn't mean I have to change it, but I have to be willing to change it. He who would keep his life must lose it. What does it benefit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Who cares if you're right? If your desire to be right pushes everyone you love away. Everyone believes that they are right-thinking men and women doing the work of God. However, our real growth comes from the ability to analyze our beliefs and the willingness to change. The people who flew the planes into the Twin Towers believed they were right. I disagree with them strongly, Todd. The people who killed all of the Muslims in Jerusalem during the First Crusades believed that they were right. Very few people think they're wrong and then continue in their wrongness. It's easy for us to see the wrongness of others, but difficult for us to see it in ourselves. Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. It's the story of the banquet. Now, are you familiar with King Arthur and the Round Table? King Arthur is the best king because his table is round, and that way, nobody is above other people. So whether you're Sir Galahad, who's searching for the Holy Grail, or you're Sir Lancelot, who's having an adulterous affair with the queen. You're all in a circle. Lancelot was French, Tom. But normally, tables are rectangular. And the person who is the king or the best person sits in the middle. And because most people are right-handed, the best person would be, his number one lieutenant is to his right. Then his number two lieutenant is to his left, so on, so forth, and such, until you have Gabe at the far end. I'm like, dude, they gonna pass that gravy out of there? So, and people back in the day, especially during Roman times, your station in life was very clear. You know, you could be a poor person with a credit card and buy a Louis Vuitton bag today. But back then, you know, if you were poor, you're just wearing tattered clothes. And so there was a very distinct hierarchical, stratified way of living your life. And the consequences for coming late to church or trying to sit in the wrong place were very, very severe indeed. So all of the guests at the wedding feast are trying to sit as close to the main event as they can. Jesus says this, and he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man. And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will have honor. Practical knowledge for people going to dinner parties back in the day. But also, I would argue there's a higher level to it. I have been, and a million who believe they are right, and they go around doling out advice and of the world around them. There is no happiness in being right and telling everybody about your rightness. The real happiness and joy comes from the humility. Because the Lord will then, if you are humble, then you can be teachable. That's how you have to make yourself like a child. You don't have to make yourself an actual child. You have to make yourself like a child, teachable. If you go to the kindergartners, they don't think they have it figured out. They're looking to be guided. They're looking to be shown the way. Don't go everywhere thinking you know everything about everything. I'm not going to go to an auto mechanic and say, oh, this sparks fire. I don't know anything about cars. So how would I be the person that should tell the Lord or any of you how to live your lives? All I can say is seek. If you are faithful to seek, he will show you. And you can only seek if you're humble enough to believe that you need to seek. Humble yourselves to be able to be open to the possibility of growth and change. The Holy Spirit calls us to change and grow, but we can only do that if we are willing to look honestly at our lives. I know a million people who go around looking at the world and is filled with hostile people trying to get the better of them. And so they have problems in their family, and they have their problems at the work, and they have problems everywhere they go. How do I know this? I was that man. And if I'm not careful, I'll continue to be that man. Trader Joe's gave us a $2 per hour raise to every person in the company. Yeah. And so I was working in the box last night, as I'm wont to do. I had a buddy in there who will remain nameless. He probably is listening. And I said, dude, $2 per hour raise, right? And I was really excited. But you'll never guess, this man was not excited. And he proceeded to lecture me on the evils of capitalism and how Trader Joe's and the people at the top And they're only doing that because the fast food people raise the prices and they're worried that the people are going to do the unionize. All of those things may be true. But if you can look at a $2 raise per hour out of the blue and look for something that's wrong, you're stuck. You're stuck, my friend. We're both in this ice-cold refrigerator, but you're stuck. Because he's looking at everything the rightness. He's got it all figured out. How capitalism and how all of the things work together. He's figured it all out as we both put unsweetened organic almond milk on the shelf. That was me. You watch any YouTube or Instagram video, if you're foolish enough to go into the comments, you will find a million bajillion people who have figured it all out and they've decided to educate the world on cat videos in the comments section of Instagram. Well, Ashley, you know, you're not supposed to feed your cat the dry food like that because do you know if they put the chemicals? Just let us watch a cat video. Be humble enough to be able to learn and grow and change. Look at your life. Did that make sense? That doesn't mean that the world doesn't need to change. But in order for the world to change, we gotta change. And it's much quicker to change yourself than to wait for the world to change. Seek the Lord and the Holy Spirit will burn up that bad behavior. The arrogance that held me right where I was for so very long. Those of you who know me, you've heard it. So I gotta be on alert. I gotta be at the end of the table, waiting for the Lord to guide me forward. Is this right? What do I need to change? How do I gotta see the world, Lord? Help me, help me. My friend at Trader Joe's, he's a wonderful person. But the problem is that he's stuck because he's not seeking how to grow. He believes he's already where he needs to be. He's waiting for the world to change. And he's going to wait and wait and wait and wait. I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be that man. I want to be the man who's filled with love and peace to the extent that it's overflowing. And if I can do and be that, it may just help my friend in the box. When he was saying things to me, I wasn't crossing my arms. Because now we're just talking at each other. I was just listening. Listening and listening and listening the way the Lord would have me do. And if I can be a man who's filled with peace to the point where it's noticeable, he will come up and ask me. I'm not at that point yet. So I just listen. So first, I seek to question my thoughts, my actions, my behavior. What is it that is keeping me from finding the peace of the Lord? And then when he reveals it to me, boom, I act. Your peace and happiness are the dividends you get paid from putting the work and taking action. When you are seeking the Lord, it may also be helpful to seek the guidance of a close friend. Proverbs 27, it says, iron sharpens iron. I think that's why it's a good thing to come to church. Iron sharpens iron. You need people that are also strong to help guide you. You know the famous quote or whatever, it's a saying, you can judge a man by the company he keeps. If you met 20-year-old Gabe, there were not philosophers and mathematicians and humanitarians in the group. Wonderful people. We're just young men trying to figure it out. Seek the guidance of friends, but above all, seek the Lord. And then when you get some advice that you feel is right, be faithful to act on it. Matthew 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents. Let me try and hurry. I'm keeping you guys. It's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me with 5. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you are entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, I will take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he who will have in abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing teeth. The master, in my mind, is the world. And the world can be rough. But the Lord has given us talents. But many of us live in fear. I can't do that. What happens if I fail? I can't do that. What will they say? I can't do this, that, or the other. It's too hard. I'm too busy. I got kids. I got things to do, brother. I lived my life like that. Like a man who was scared to lose the last little bit of hope he had. And even that was taken from me. Because I wasn't willing to venture it. I wasn't willing to risk it. I wasn't willing to do the work. I heard the Lord calling me. We all hear the Lord calling me. He calls us to improve. He calls us to grow. But it's scary. I know what I have. Even if I don't like what I have, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. Am I right? No. To him who has much, much will be given. The Lord is calling us to move forward. When you hear him, act, not for the benefit of him, but for you. For your own growth, for your own peace. Now that I have 2 talents, I'm beginning to see what he meant. And I'm more willing to invest those. Because the master will come home and the payment will be due. The only difference is now I recognize my talent. So when they asked me to be head of the board in the past, I would have said, Gabe, you don't know what you're doing. Your older brother should do that. Your sister should do that. Your mom or dad should do that. Daniel should do that. No, no, no. The Lord reveals to me, and then I act on what he reveals. And I'm faithful to pray, and so I know he will reveal the next step. And I'm getting more, I'm getting more, I'm getting more. The only thing that's different from the man I am today, than the man that I was the willingness to listen to the Lord. I can't pray, Dad. I got two kids I'm raising by myself. I've got multiple jobs. All right, Gabriel, I'll just give you this little note card. Maybe you could do that. Read this whole thing. I'm a busy man. I got to put on my olive tie and give garlic knots out to people. Can't do it. Can't do it. Too much. I don't have time for that. Watch YouTube? Oh, yeah. Oh, time to death. The talents that I have, I will not bury them in the ground. I diversify my portfolio, Charles Atkinson. Sunday mornings, it's hard to come to church. Why? Why would it be hard to do the very thing that's keeping you alive? Your prayer time isn't a chore. It's the greatest, it's the best thing you do all day. But we put it on the back burner. Answer our emails. I'm going to do my prayer time. First coffee. I got to do my prayer time, but the kids are busy. I'm going to do my prayer time, but you stay right where you are. And that is fine. That does not make you a bad person, but the rent will come due. The master will come home. And if you haven't been investing your talents, there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you that. I have wept and gnashed my teeth. But now I invest, I invest, I pray and I seek the Lord, and it's my number one priority. We're gonna skip past all this, but when Jesus says he's come to cast fire on the earth, he said, I will divide this world, not between Protestants or Catholics or Muslims and Jews, but between he who will listen and he who will not. If you're just going with the flow, doing the same thing you've always done, enjoy your life. But if you want more, then you've got to do more. You must do more. I got up and was the same man for 35 years, 40 years. The same man waking up, a zombie walking through the earth. Let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Yes, Lord, I will follow you. And he's helped me. He's saved me. He redeems me. He guides me. The fear burns up. The anxiety burns up. The self-doubt, the self-loathing. It's burned up. And the fire shows my path. And I seek him, I seek him, I seek him. Be mindful of what you do. Look at your life. Are you seeking him? If you're not, that's okay. I still love you, so does he. But if you want anything more than what you've got, do not be the man who buries it in the ground. He created us with the potential to connect with the Creator and live in life and peace. And then we get up and limit ourselves. We close our eyes and our ears. We put people in boxes and we fade away. I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. Whether I'm in the box at Trader Joe's, at my house with my children, speaking into a mic at the congregation. I will follow him. I will. Your life is at stake. Don't let him rob from you anymore. The Bible says he prowls about seeking whom he may devour. That implies whether or not he is allowed to. Who gives him that allowance? We do. I gave him allowance every day of my life to tear it to shreds. Because I was too busy. But I'm not too busy anymore. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And everything else will be added to you. Your marriage, your kids, your job, your work, your health, your life. In a dark, cold, refrigerated box last night, I was living the dream, Todd. It's like, I feel like people maybe don't believe me. He hasn't changed. He was the same man today. He's the same God, the same being that he is today. He was 20 years ago when I was strung out and hopeless. He hasn't changed. I've changed. We have to. The hour is nigh. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. 2,000 years ago, he spread fire on the earth. And then we just walk around. Not anymore. Sorry. Ranting and raving, Steve, I'm sorry. But what could be more important? Even my children cannot be more important than the Lord. Even my family cannot be more important than the Lord. Because by putting someone else in front of my seeking the Lord, I rob myself and I rob them by extension. I walk more closely. I listen more intently. I look. And then he shows me. And then the children come to me. I follow him more importantly than the job. And wouldn't you know it, the job improves too. We've got it all backwards. We've put the cart before the horse. We've turned it into a magic trick. Here, right now. Prioritize. Find. He's trying to save you. Seek him. Seek and you shall be found, and you shall find. Ask and you will be answered. Knock and it will be opened to you. I can't knock. I got to get the kids ready for school. I can't knock. It's movie night. I can't knock. I got that email I was supposed to do. I can't knock. The taxes have to be paid. First knock, and then pay your taxes. They'll get you. First knock, and then get the kids ready for bed. First knock, and then go to work. Walking to work, grinning like an idiot. Love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Press down, shaking together, overflowing. Boom. Love it. And wouldn't you know it, Trader Joe's has become a treasure. Even my students become more receptive when I am operating in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when I'm not, because I'm not always doing it, I've only got two talents. I think I got two and a half. I don't know if they do. They do have these. When I get up, I'm like, why didn't Jude clean a room? Why didn't the kids do? Don't do. Then when I go and talk to them, blind, can't hear, can't see. They're not the ones that need to change. I got to change. And when I do, they will as well. Nothing that is darkness can stay darkness when exposed to the light. You turn on the light in the room, every corner is lit up. Be faithful. Be faithful. Find ways and means. Prioritize. I can't do pull-ups because I still eat burritos. It's not magic. Science. We can't have peace without following the Prince of Peace. You've got to find ways. You have to find ways. You have to look and you have to be mindful. Well, you don't have to, but you should. Or you can go about stumbling in the dark. He loves you no matter what. This week, be blessed in your life. This week, be blessed in your job. This week, be blessed in your children, your family, and your wives and husbands, your friends. But above all, be blessed in the Lord. This is the last thing I promise. Now abide these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. If you don't have it, you're a clanging gong. Walking around complaining about Trader Joe's. Seek him and you will find him. And then come back next week and tell me about it, because I love it. If you'll bow your heads and close your eyes, I'll say a quick word. And then we're going to do, I guess I'll just pray over there then. Okay, I'll do both prayers. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, please send your Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord. Help us. Guide us. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this place. Thank you for the opportunity that your Spirit provides. Guide us this week, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Illuminate our path. Help us to see the next step. Help us to overcome the obstacles, the hurdles the enemy puts in the way. Help us to see clearly. Be with our friend Harjeet. Flood her in your Spirit, Lord. Give her peace in this dark hour. Give her healing in her body. Give her wisdom and love. Remind her she's not alone. Burn up the things that would hold her back. Help us, Jesus. Give us discipline. Help us to create ways, situations, schedules that the enemy can't dismantle so that we can pray unceasingly and follow your wisdom throughout the day to be disciples, to be followers of you, Lord. Bless us and keep us safe. Bring us back next week, Lord, filled with the goodness of your gospel. In Jesus' name.